listening to Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your hosts, Angel and Walter LeRae. Real talk, real people, sincere conversations. Let's get into the podcast. Welcome, welcome. This is Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your hosts, Angel and Walter LeRae. I am the poet, Walter LeRae, and that is my dope co-host,
Angel.
What's good with you, Mr. Angel? How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, man, I'm blessed. Highly favored.
Yeah. Highly blessed and not even favored. I get it.
What's up, bro? How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, I cannot complain. I try to take, you know, things with a grain of salt. Just enjoy life, man. I don't take myself too serious, and I don't, you know, I just love life, man. Love people. So social distancing has actually been good for me because, you know, I don't like big crowds anyway. So I'm good. I can't complain, brother.
Nah, I feel you on that. I was never the big crowd type person myself.
Yeah, but it seems like people, you know, the one thing that I've noticed is that I like to go places, and I think the extra attention to detail that we are cautious of right now has kind of been in the back of our minds. But the whole quarantine and trying to lay low for a minute, it didn't really bother me. But I see that it drove a lot of people crazy.
Well, yeah, I think it caused a lot of people to slow down. And like you said, pay attention to details that was kind of just taken for granted for a long period of time. Because when you look at it, dude, a lot of the things that restaurants are doing and businesses are doing should have been what they've been doing as the norm. Why would it be protocol? Why would it be, you know, COVID-19 process? You know what I mean? It should have been something that was in normal standard rotation.
Yeah, most definitely. I agree with you, but I mean, you know, I guess people just do what they want to do. And that's the whole point about life. You know, people are doing what they want to do and not what they're supposed to do and belly aching about it later. But I digress, man. This is a Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely? That's what we do here, you know. And before I go on, I want to say a special shout out to Glenn and her podcast. I got love for those people, man. They're very funny. So when y'all get a chance, check them out. Now, Angel, what do you have on the subject for our great listeners, sir?
Well, you know, it's the 50th episode. Yay. Hooray. Hoorah. Yeah. And, you know, it kind of actually ties into, you know, what we were just discussing is that paying attention to detail, moving with purpose. And I think that it's a good opportunity to kind of highlight some of the things that, you know, people may not be aware of that we've had to deal with growing up, some transitions we had to be prepared for, even in this, you know, current society, and how to make every move, every step count is moving with purpose. And I think that, you know, even, you know, not to get all COVID-19 conspiracy theorist crazy and all that, but if we always paid attention to detail, not even this would have been the biggest impact that it shouldn't have been this. You know what I mean? It should have been kept in check since day one. If everybody had remembered to just to keep moving in purpose. Does that make sense?
Makes wonderful sense. Yeah. And I really love that. Moving with purpose is something that I do every day. And I constantly keep God on my mind. I mean, I'm really not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. I love to pray. I love to talk to God, regardless of whatever your beliefs may be, man. I believe in the Most High. So it's always, it's always good for me to keep my mind on Him, you know, keep my mind on God, keep my mind on the prize, because you can get easily led astray if you don't. So yeah, I agree with you that paying attention to detail was a lax, but it's always the time that you take your eye off the prize. You know, you can blink, you know, and people are making moves against you. People are doing things and so forth. And you just got to be, you know, calm in how you move through this, you know, traumatic stages of life, because life is growing pains. You know, it's, you know, nothing is, it's going to come to you easy. And I always say, if it comes to you easy, you might want to look at it on the other side of it. It may not be worth it, but to move with purpose is something that I do every day because I want my life to be purposeful and I want it to be filled with purpose. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I agree with
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Cause you know, sometimes when you have moments in life that causes you to slow down and just reevaluate things. Right. And it forces you to take inventory. And, you know, I was just thinking about, man, some things that, you know, there's things that happen along the way when we're growing up that kind of shape, you know, the way that you think, the way that you look at life, you know, that your outlook and whatnot. And I was like, man, you know, at some point we got to a position in life where we were just, it just felt like we were different than most of the people in our surrounding. Right. And right. I remember being in college and I even just having part-time jobs, being around people my same age and feeling like a complete alien because my mind was never focused on, you know, the typical partying and hanging out. And then I'm not, you know, taking a shot at people who were of that life, but that was never my drive. That was never my purpose to just, you know, be in that lane. Right. And, yeah. I've got it all the time from my professors and from my teachers. Like, you're very wise and mature for your age. And it's like, well, we had to deal with a lot of adversity that, mm-hmm. you know, put us in a position where we had to kind of grow up a little quicker. And, you know, one of the events, man, that I do remember was a turning point for me. And I'm sure I can't speak for you, but I know how it impacted you. But one of our good friends passed away when we were in school. And you remember the incident that I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, our good friend, Llewellyn, right?
Yes, Waylon, man.
Waylon, yeah.
Waylon, man. And for people who don't know, Waylon was that guy, like the funniest dude you ever wanted to meet. I mean, I don't think there was like one person I can remember that really had a legitimate beef with Waylon. He was just, everybody knew him and everybody who knew him just smiled whenever they talked about him, you know? Now, don't get it twisted. Waylon was known for snapping.
Yeah, he was, he can crack on the best of them, right? Like, you know.
And once you got him started, boy, it was hard. Hey, either you learn to laugh with it or you better start coming up with some comebacks or he'll be on you all day long.
Yeah, no, I knew a long time ago, leave it alone. And once he gets started, just let him go. You know, it was no combat on that one. He was going to roast you. He was going to be, he was going to be smoking. He going to leave you hot and smoking, but he'll burn you up. So right. Yeah, he was that guy. Nobody had a, if you had beef with Waylon, you were probably the biggest idiot in the world.
Yeah, because I mean, first of all, you had to go through a lot of people to get to him because everybody had that zeal to protect him because he was just that guy. You know what I mean? Like he was like, you know, the guy that just made you laugh when you needed it the most. You know.
Hey, we can use that, man. I get that, but
I'm telling you, dude, he made football games the best. He made prep rallies the best.
I remember that guy. Yeah, it's definitely what was a loss. That Friday night, I was on the football field, so
yeah, and I was in the stands, and you know, as usual, we was up at the top, man, and you know, freestyling and just snapping on people and whatever, and just had, you know, it was a good. Maybe 8-10 of us up there in that little corner just having fun, man. And I remember, it just felt like one of those nights, you know what I mean? Where everything fit into place, you around good company, you laughing, you having a good time. And it just felt like whatever it was that was stressing you out, you know, throughout the week, just melted away. You know, it's just like, hey, I'm gonna enjoy this good football game, you know, cheer for my team, my school, and just have a couple laughs, dude. And like that, you know, that's a perfect Friday night, you know. But, you know, towards the end of the game, I think towards like the middle of the fourth quarter sometime is when, you know, he left with some people and you know, because, you know, people go to parties or they get little get-togethers after the game to celebrate, you know, nothing too crazy. You know, it was one joint we used to hang out was it Hardee's?
Yeah. Well, I just say it was a burger Hardee's. Joint. It was a burger joint.
Burger joint.
Yeah. Because yeah, everybody not won't know. Yeah. Yeah. No, some no names should not be mentioned in the recording of this episode because nobody has sponsored me.
Yeah. Like, it was a burger joint. And for y'all.
Oh, my Skrilla.
Yeah. You know, it was just one of those burger joints that everybody went to, and you know, the parking lot was full. It was no nonsense, no fighting, or that like that. People were just chilling. You know, even the you know, the cops would roll through, you know, make a couple rounds, but it, you know, everybody kept things in perspective because we didn't want no drama, you know. But yeah, man. Then I you know, everything became foggy after that because I know he left. And I know you were supposed to be with the group that he left with, and I couldn't find you. So I thought you had left because, right. You know,
yeah, the young lady that I was dating at the time was, it, you know, I'm not mentioning any names, but they were all together.
Yeah.
To be, you know, we were all going to hook up later because it was, you know, I think it was homecoming. No, it was a game before homecoming. It was something, it was a crazy day, but anyway. We were all going to hook up later, and they bailed out midway through the fourth quarter to go and do other things. And then you got the news.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So what was the news that you got? Dun, dun, dun.
Well, man, well, you know, man, the game was wrapping up, you know, like close to like, I'd say the last maybe, you know, 20, maybe 15 minutes of the game. If it's already in the bag, you know, people start kind of, you know, gravitating towards the parking lot, and then, you know, that parking lot pimping, you know.
Yeah, already situation. In the bag because I was killing them on the football field that night. Yeah, I had a good game too.
You know, people will be posted up by the cars waiting for the football players to come out the field house, and you know, it's just everybody socialized, like a little, you know, the pre-social spot. So man, we was headed out to the parking lot, man, and I was, you know, talking to a couple of your classmates and, you know, a few people that we were chilling with earlier, dude. And then all of a sudden, I can't remember who it was exactly. There was a commotion and somebody was like crying hysterically. And man, she was just really distraught. And she was like, they're all dead. They're all dead. And I'm like, what? And then she mentioned the young lady who was driving said that they had an accident. And the way that she reported it is that the car flipped over several times, but there was no survivors. Yeah. And the first thing I thought was, wait a minute, my brother was supposed to be with him. Like, you know, what the F, you know, like, whoa.
Yeah.
So then I'm looking around, dude, and I'm like, hey, yo, you see my brother? Like, you're like, nah, I ain't seen him, dude. I saw him earlier. And so immediately, dude, I kind of go into this different headspace because I'm like, yo, where's my brother? Like, in no disrespect to anybody else, I'm just at this point numb because I'm like, I can't find my brother. You know what I mean? And so the high school where the game was like a couple of blocks from the hospital. And so, you know, everybody was saying, oh, they're at the hospital. You know, the ambulance is rushing someone to the hospital. They're trying to da-da-da, whatever. And as soon as I heard that, dude, I took off running. And I, somebody was calling my name. I think it was Schwinn or somebody. I don't remember who it was like, hey, little Walt, ride with me, ride. Man, I was in full stride. Like, I didn't want to slow down. I didn't want to hear anybody talking. People were calling my name, trying to get me to hop in a car with them. I was just full stride. I was gone. So, man, I'm like, just going down the block, just fast as I can. And then, when I got around to the you know, intersection where I had to turn to go down to where the hospital was, it was like a bunch of cars just pulled up all of a sudden. And it's just like, it was like, you would think Michael Jackson or somebody was out there because how many people just started gravitating down the street, you know, on foot and in the car all at the same time. You know what I mean? And then I heard your voice asking, hey, have you seen, you know, of course, the young lady's name that you was dating at the time. And I was like, yo, dude. And I saw you, man. And I was like, yo, like, man, what happened, dude? Because I heard you was in the car. He's like, nah, I wasn't in the car. But then I let you tell your perspective of that, because that's up to leading to the part of me getting to the hospital. That's where I was. But what was it like for you? Because you was also in a panic when I finally found you.
Yeah, it was different because I heard you were in the car.
Jeez.
Because, okay, listen, this is what happened on my side of the story. All right, so, you know, we played the football game, and like I said, they bailed out midway through the fourth quarter. Well, I couldn't. I'm still on the football field, right? So I'm still doing right. What I'm doing and so forth. So we, you know, finish it up on the football field. I go off into the field house and get pulled into an interview with the local paper, journalist, which held me up because the guy that on the football field that with me was my classmate. It was like a double date, basically. The young lady I was dating and the young lady that he was dating was the driver of the car. The young lady that I was dating was supposed to be in the car with them. Right. And when I got out, I'm standing there waiting because they were supposed to come back and scoop us up. So me and my teammate, we get into his truck and car, whatever we was driving at the time. And by the time we leave out of the football parking lot, the stadium parking lot, I hear that there's an accident. And I heard I was in the car. I heard I was dead. That's what I heard. Okay.
Wow.
I'm like, it was a surreal feeling. you know what I mean? I'm thinking maybe they got my brother mixed up with me.
Right.
Because the young lady that I was dating was the last time I saw her, she was up in the stands with you. So I automatically assume
that I left with them.
That you left with them. Right. So it you know, now I'm tripping. You know, now I'm on a whole different level. Then, you know, cars was just flying by. You know, flying by. Man. The football stadium. So we like, yo, what's going on? You know, so we're following the cars. So we're to figure out what's really going on. And, you know, when you're that young and you're having to deal with all kind of emotions. I just played football. That's a different type of emotion. Now to think that my baby brother is in an accident. And the people, all of them were in that accident. It's just, you know, your emotions are being pulled left and right. You don't know what's going on. And then somebody dropped the dead. Everybody's dead. You don't know. So now you're searching and praying and hoping that the news that you're hearing is wrong. Then you get to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw you. I don't know if you remember me hugging you.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to say I heard you were in the car at the time. So I asked about the young lady that I was dating, like, yo, where is she at? And then all of a sudden she heard that I was in the car as well.
Right.
See, what happened is when they left, they dropped her off at her sister's house to pick something up. And they were supposed to come back and pick her up and come back to the field house and pick us up.
Right.
But me hearing that you were in the car with her drove me crazy.
Vice versa.
You know, I was like, yo, this is, you know, surreal because it was packed. Everybody, it's a small town. Everybody at the hospital. It was just, and then we hear that one of the coolest guys in school who didn't play sports. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Because we had a roster of athletes, right?
All-star.
Yeah.
All-star.
But this is the coolest guy in school who never played sports.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody loved him. I mean, you know, everybody loved him. And it was just, you know, I didn't feel that way until Kobe passed away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't felt that way in a long time. And then when Kobe passed away, I was like, ouch.
That, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, that stings. Like, yo. And happy birthday to Bean. I miss Bean, man. I miss you, Kobe. What a
24 forever, baby.
Man, but that's the feeling that I felt. And it was just, it just broke my heart at that point in time because his sister and his mother was wailing. They were crying and weeping. I mean, it was a different type of a pain that you know that you, I understand, but I don't understand. It just, you know, because I was almost there with him, you know.
Yeah. And that, you know, I was immediately, I was relieved, but it was only for a split second because immediately this heaviness just came over me like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I was like, okay, maybe it ain't true, just like it wasn't true about my brother. Like, okay, somebody stop playing. Like, tell me it's not true. And when I saw his sister, I just knew, like, I saw Fred, and Fred was bawling like a baby. And I saw his sister, and I was like, nah, man, stop playing. Mm-hmm. And it was just one of those moments where you're trying to wait for it to sink in, but you don't want it to sink in.
Oh, yeah, it's, you know you're numb. You know, I felt numb for weeks at a time. You know, I couldn't snap out of it. It was something that affected us at a young age that, you know, like I said before, when it happens, it you know, you don't like that emotion, you know.
Well, man, here's the thing, dude. Waylon was the guy that encouraged me to take, you know, my art seriously. He's like, man, you got skill, you got talent. And, you know, he encouraged me to get in there and you know, freestyle with the big boys, you know, people who already, you know, grades ahead of me. But and you know, because it was a time where it wasn't really about being shy. I was very reserved, and I really didn't share a lot of things, you know, with people. You know, you just had to be really, really close to me to even know that, you know, everybody knew I wrote, but nobody knew that I had that freestyle or whatever the case may be. But, you know, he was one of the people that really, you know, say, hey, man, you dope, like, encouraged me to take it seriously. And, you know, we used to freestyle back and forth. And, you know, dude, to me, like, that will always be a special moment to me because it was like, dude, he was like that cousin, you know, that big cousin that just, you know what I mean? Like, dude, it wasn't a friend. He was like family.
Yeah, he was definitely
No matter where you were, if you saw this dude, you'd be like instantly, you'd be like, all right, cool. Yeah. Wait a minute here, I'm good. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it was a different type of love. I really believe that he should be honored in a certain way. And I know the listeners probably don't know, but they look, understand this, is somebody that you know that passed away way too soon that touched a lot of people's lives. And that's this young man, how it affected us as well. And to tie that back into learning to move with purpose is because of that emotion, that feeling that you got at that point in time. It's like life is really too short.
Right. And especially, dude, when you realize how fragile it is, you know, how, dude, we was just in the stands freestyling and joking and just acting a fool. You know what I'm saying? Laughing until your face hurt. And just like that, he's gone. Just like that. You know, it's just like that fast. Like, dude, the night didn't even have a chance to end, you know, to process the fact that, man, I was just talking to this dude.
Yeah.
And now I can't talk to him anymore.
Yeah. I had plans that night. It was crazy, man. I think the young lady that I was with at the time, I think she cried in my arms all night long. And I couldn't even sleep.
We was up there for, man, I want to say at least 2 hours, a couple hours. And even after we left, it was still people just standing there, dude. Just, they was too shocked to move.
It was an impact.
They didn't even trip on it because, you know, they understood, man. It was just a different energy. You know what I mean? And I just remember, like, dude, I didn't even want to go home because I was like, nah, if I go home, if I lay down and wake up and it's still here, then it's too real. Mm. And I just, you know, like, man, my mind was going so many thoughts per second. And, well, and I remember,
I get it.
I don't know what I did. Cause I remember you went home, you was with, you know, your girlfriend at the time. And I was doing something, man, and I finally dozed off, but it wasn't for long because I remember the sun came up not too long after. But man, I remember when I woke up and I just sat up and I was like,
"Well, I'm gonna tell you what I remember." And I don't know if you still remember, but we had to go home and let mom know that we were okay.
Yeah.
Because I think mom had just got off of work.
Right. And then
the word was started to spread. And I'm wondering if I heard that you were dead and you heard that I was dead, you can imagine what she heard.
Exactly. And it's like, yo.
So it was me, you, I made sure that you got home safe. It was me, you, and my girl. We got to the crib. Mom was about to go into her hissy fit. We had to calm mom down. And, you know, from that point, we chilled out. You know, I was going to stay there. But the thing is that I think the young lady needed to go over her sister's house. So I drove her over to her sister's house and I told mom I'd be back. I said, if I don't, I'm going to just make sure she's okay. Call mom, let her know I was okay. And the young lady just cried because she was supposed to be in the car. I was supposed to be in the car. So that was a different type of emotion that, you know, people were dealing with. And then you heard I was dead. Then I heard you were dead. So you're hearing these things. And, you know, you're going on this emotional roller coaster and then you thinking, okay, well, he's okay. Like, cause a lot of people who were the people who were in the car, who survived were banged up pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But he passed away and that's the, you know, we're like, you have hope, but then that hope is not bringing him back.
Right.
You know, and you're dealing with that loss at that time it was emotional, man. But,
you know, and after the hope, dude, comes that guilt because I remember, dude, just, man, how come I ain't stopped him? You know, because he was indecisive.
Oh, was he?
I know it. Yeah, because he was like, man, because he was going to just wait it out and chill. And he's like, man, da, 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 da. And I said, man, no, you know. And for whatever reason, man, I looked around and he got up and he left. And I was like, all right, man, you know. And it's like, and he gave me, all right, little Walt. You know, he gave me, you know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry that people called you little Walt, dude.
Nah, it's all good.
I hated that song when it came out.
It was all your classmates, dude.
Yo, his name is Angel, just, you know.
To this day, people was like, they hear my name and they like, I don't think I know you. You're like, Little Walter. Oh, Little Walter. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. Nah, it's cool, man. It's no big, because we look so much alike and that's what, you know, and then the song came out and then that was just it. It was all she wrote. Once that Tony, Tony, Tony song came out, that was it. Because and that's the funny thing about it. He used to tease me singing that song, like, come on, dog, not you too. Come on.
Yeah, but if he teased you, he had love for you. Because he was the type that either he was gonna roast you because he didn't like you, or he was gonna roast you because he liked you.
And when you see the difference, you know,
that's a difference. Yeah, that's a difference. Because he left a lot of people hot around the collar. I was like, yo, he roasted you so tough.
Talked about it till you didn't want to play no more. You quit. I quit.
I was roasting a weenie on you. He was lighting you up so tough, man. But anyway, man, I don't want to make the listeners be like, oh, this is so sad. Nah, it's not sad, dude. It's like, the thing is that you got to learn how, you know, these things that happen in your life, they're going to hit you. They're going to, and a lot of times it's going to be below the belt. You know what I mean? And you have to adjust to life and the losses and everything that you have. And that's why you have to move with purpose. And that's why I always try to move with purpose in everything that I do.
Word, man. And it's, you know, yeah, of course it's sad because you reminisced on a time that, you know, you lost somebody that meant a lot to you. And he still does. He still means a lot. You know, that value has never changed over the years. But, you know, you do find peace in, you know, remembering the value that he poured into your life. And you remember, you find peace in just having, you know, that friendship. And of course, something like that, you want it to last forever. But the truth is that, you know, time is not guaranteed to anybody. And henceforth, move with purpose, because, you know, we never know when that time is up. And, you know, we never know when the you know, the whole shift of change is coming. We never know.
It's definitely a change that comes, but at the end of the day, man, you just got to keep your head up and you got to keep it pushing. So, I mean, I really think that there should be something, and I would like to do something for him in his honor as well one day, but you know, if I'm still here and still kicking, maybe I'll be able to do those things. So, shout out to him and shout out to his family. I just want y'all to know that he, you know, he lives on in our memories. He definitely lives on in our heart.
All the time, man. And, you know, we lost a couple more soldiers along the way, man. And you know, the hurt is, it still hurts, you know. But again, we don't want to make it about an episode of complete loss. But moving with purpose, man, it's just, this is what resonated with me when it came time to graduate from high school at an early age. You know, this is what resonated with me when I was in college grinding while, you know, my peers were just really out there discovering life and, you know, having the most fun that they can have. And there's nothing against them for doing that. You know, I'm happy that they had that privilege, but, you know, I had to walk a different path because, you know, it was once you have that awakening, dude, you move differently. Yeah. And that carries on in your workplace. You know, for me, you know, dude, I'm 19 years old managing people that's old enough to be my parents. And that didn't
always that's a lot of hate. That's a lot of hate come with that baggage, baby.
Yeah, you know, I've done it, man.
I have an old dude try to sabotage me when I was a manager. And I'm like, and I just had to break it down to you. I said, obviously, if you could do what I do, you would be here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And oh, boy.
I'm old enough to be your dad, but you're not, though. But you're not. And I want you to know before you finish that there's consequences that's coming with the end of that. But you're not.
Well, apparently they didn't tell you. My daddy can whoop ass. And so can
and
I.
So can I. So
just letting you know before you put that out there, watch your mouth. But no, man, it you know, it came with a purpose, man. Even when we was working on that first movie project. I don't know if you want to say the title of it.
No, I ain't going to say the title of it, man. Cause you know, it just, you know what I've learned though, man, I've learned some band-aids. Right. Yeah. You removing hold up. Some wounds don't heal. Okay. Some wounds don't heal and you spitting alcohol on them is not helping, but
it burns.
Well, I learned that. I've always tried to be that dude. People are like, well, Walter, why do you say your circle is so small? It's a dot. Because man, when I had to, okay, this is why. When I try to work with people.
Yep.
And I've always tried to be the one I'm like the little rascals. I love that whole gang, the peanut gallery, the peanut gang. I love to see people work together. But when I try to work with people and nothing manifests, the only thing that manifests is more drama. I've learned along the way that, okay, either you are moving in a different light or you're trying to sabotage what I'm trying to do. And being in a smaller market, when you're doing anything in entertainment, I've learned that people are naturally going to be haters and they're going to try to leapfrog you, take your ideas and move to the next level. So you cannot be cool with everyone. You have to, you know, have a discernment of their spirit because they're not moving with the right spirit. They're moving to advance their careers they don't care who they step on. They'll step on your toes, your bunions, your coins, right. your little black gnawed off toenail. They don't care. Okay. Because they are moving with the purpose of dominating what they feel is the right way. Right, and I'm notice how I put it that way.
Yeah.
They feel that's the right way. Yeah. So who am I to change their mental and their mindset if they feel that they're doing the right thing.
Right.
Right.
It's hard to challenge.
You can't challenge that doctrine because now you look like a fool.
Right,
so,
right.
But what you can do is tighten your circle because that's the control. I always talk about the equation, the common denominator. Well, when you lose and you're constantly losing and you're losing people and you're losing money and you're losing sleep, you're losing rest over the weary, then you start to recognize, okay, I'm not a loser. So I have to move in a different light because everything that I do to try to hitch on anybody else's trailer, they're pulling up to the stop because they know that I'm hitching onto their trailer. Right. But if it was the other way around, they'll ride your mother loving self to death.
Well, yeah. And we've seen that firsthand. It was unfortunate because back in the early 90s, we had a collective minds of a lot of great talent. And unfortunately, the projects fell apart and people true color started to show. And that's the reason why, I can say, a lot of people don't really understand where my brother comes from. They think he's just, a certain way. But
I see
you joking and I'm for real because I've seen you give your last, I've seen you put yourself second to, put someone else in a position to win. And then, that's that same love wasn't reciprocated. Not that you even did it to expect it in return, but I saw how people will take from you and have no problem with moving on to an opportunity that would not have existed had you not, given them that step up, And I've seen people switch up in those situations. So, but also seeing how you've been very generous and overly generous in certain situations as well. Yeah. You have a hard exterior and what a lot of people have to understand is that part of that exterior comes from having to be protective. We didn't have the privilege of being around our family in a lot of situations where, we had to protect ourselves and look out for one another. So, a lot of times people really don't know past the surface where, someone may have a personality trait that may rub you the wrong way, but that's the point of getting to know people, right? But right. I've seen you sacrifice. I've seen you take opportunities that people, I remember we met the one, I call him Ponytail, the one guy we met at the restaurant because he was going over the script and he wanted to, get a draft of your script to some people, so that we were supposed to go out to California.
Right.
And you specifically requested, hey, I got a crew of people that I'm working with. I want them. And then one of the people, I'm going to call him Dr. Johnson. And you know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He started contacting the guy behind your back and started trying to take credit for the project and then started trying to make some deals and pretty much sabotage the whole thing. And all he got in the end of it was a Chili's commercial. Yeah, I'm talking to you, sucker. You know who you are.
Yeah. You a sucker. Well, I mean, yeah.
Smiling like that in a Chili's commercial. You a sucker. But anyway, cheese it in a Chili commercial. You a sucker, dude.
Right. But let me tell you something, man. Being in the Dallas-Fort Worth area is you're dealing with cutthroats because they're trying to jump leapfrog into the bigger markets.
So, and I hate that too because DFW is so huge between Dallas and Fort Worth. We could be Atlanta is not as big as Dallas and Fort Worth combined.
Yeah, but they got that hustle and that grind though. Yeah.
Yeah, because you may have eight artists coming from Atlanta, but all of those eight artists will rock with each other and make sure everybody's eating. Dallas and Fort Worth is I wish that camaraderie was there. You have too many cliques and you have too many people that they only rock with this but don't rock with that, or they rock with that and don't rock with this.
And that's why I don't rock with them.
I don't rock with them for that simple reason,
because if you look at what they're doing, they're hurting the game within itself.
Well, that's why we all got to move with purpose, because it didn't make any sense for us to have one of the highest rated radio shows back then, but local artists weren't getting the shine that they should have gotten in that time frame.
Right.
Because I remember going to the radio station and meeting with the VJs, and I remember the female, she was great, but she just so happened the co-host that she worked with happened to be a husband, and he really didn't like the whole vibe thing. And I'm like, dude, this is business.
It is what it is, man. But I get it, though.
All right, Flair.
At the end of the day, dude, that's why my circle is so small. It's a dot, dude. Look, man, what I'm trying to explain to you is this. Everything that I went through in my life taught me how to be better. Right. And if it doesn't teach you how to be better, it's gonna wipe you out of it. You got to learn from your losses just as much as you learn from your gains. So you just gotta, you gotta put those things and implement them into a plan. And not only that, dude, when God gives you that vision, it's not meant for you to share it with everyone else. We're the type of people that when he gives you something so magnificent that you like, I have to share it. And God's like, you idiot. I did not tell you to share that. But go right ahead and see what happens.
Don't tell nobody.
Yeah. And because, you know, your body, and that's the flesh. The flesh is like, I can't contain it. And that's why you have to mature in the spirit. Your spirit has to be in a mature nature where you can control your emotions. I mean, I have scripts, I have screenplays, I have books, I have all this thing. But my purpose in life is not to be famous. See, I changed that around, and that was the whole purpose of me doing Miss. When I picked up the book, picked up the pen to write the book Miss, I speak sincerely, it's because everybody felt like they had a word to say about me, but nobody knew me.
Mm-hmm.
None of them. And I was like, okay, so you think you know me, but let me let you know who I am. See, because I'm not the man that I used to be, but thank God I'm not the man that I used to be.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Because if I was that dude, then all of that side of the neck that you bumping gums with, I handle it. But when I started my life over, well, I like to say that I've really started my life is because I realized that I didn't want to be famous. If, you know, henceforth, we're doing a podcast that we can easily do video. And I'm like, I really don't care about video podcasting because that's not where I'm at. And that's not knocking anybody who does it. It's just that I don't care to be in front of the camera.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I also wanted people to hear our voice because our voice was very important. Who from the people who tried to silence the things that we were trying to accomplish in life.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn that a long time ago, man. And that's why I only work with you. You know what I mean? Like, and it took a while for us to, you know, the right situation to pop off. We always grind together, but this podcast was something that now you're seeing God in control of doing great things because you're able to drop your gems. I'm able to just to be, you know, I'm naturally funny, but I'm always serious. And when people who know me in my real life, like, oh, you're the serious one and Angel is the clown. I'm like, nah, we just like to have fun. You know, we just love to have fun. But, you know, I admire you. I admonish you. I think you're a great individual. I think things that we have done in our past of learning has, you know, groomed us to be better now. Because at the end of the day, I'm not a lover of my voice. I don't want to hear me say fly and slide things just because it sounds good. I really want someone to get something out of the podcast. I want them to get those gems that you drop. And I can take a backseat to let anyone shine if it's for the betterment of our people, because I don't have to be out there. And that's why I really tighten it up and button down the hatches and be like, yo, my circle is so small, it's a dot. I focus on my family. There's nothing wrong with focusing on your family when you're trying to get to a certain level. Yo, man, if we were out in the wilderness, you have to be with somebody who's going that you can depend on. You know, a lot of people are fleeting. When trouble comes, they want to flee. They flee. And I'm the type that I want to fight. You know, I got your back. Let's go to war. I'll be at the tip of the spear as long as I know that you got my back, or vice versa, because I'm never going to turn and run away from you. You know, and that's how I move with purpose. I only move with the people who I break bread with. It's easy, because when I break bread with you, it's because I trust you. If I don't trust you, I can't fool with you. And that's not a diss on anybody. That's just keeping me sane, because I snatch the soul out of your world. You don't want to mess with me like that. So oops. I try to be on the up and up and do things differently in life, because I know that there's a purpose for us in here, in this vessel. There's a purpose for us to do greater things in life, you know, and that's my little 2 cents, man.
Man, that's some valuable 2 cents, though. Some valuable 2 cents. But no, man, I don't see it as you know, I don't have the labels. You know, if other people have feedback like that, that's great. And I appreciate, you know, them tuning in. But as far as wits and intelligence, dude, there's no one versus the other, one over the other. I mean, people have to understand, you know, I drove myself hard in school when it came to academics, because I had the example to follow. My older siblings weren't dummies, so I couldn't be the dumb one in the bunch. So, you know, I had to come with it, especially if I had a teacher that one of y'all had. Oh, you so-and-so brother. So I know what that household is like. So there was no excuses for me. I had to come with it. But, you know, man, I get it, too, when it comes to the dot thing, because a lot of people may think that's an anti-message of some sort, but it's not really anti. It's just saying that you don't have time for the foolishness. Because I remember in one individual, you know, going all the way to Louisiana, paying for studio time and trying to put this person into, you know, a position. And then they're saying, you know, this dude signs with this other manager just because he said he can do something for him. And, you know, come to find out, dude just owns a barbershop.
Hey, but you got to let... Oh my gosh. You got to let people be them, and you got to let people make their own mistakes, man. And if I can share something with anyone out there, let people be themselves and don't worry about them. Go on about your business and focus on you. Even the small things that we think that we need to snap back on people or clap back at them, just let them be themselves, man. But remove them out of your life.
Yeah.
And your life will be a lot better, man. When I can focus on Angel, focus on Walter, focus on our family, then things are better. If I focus outside of that circle, then I'm messing with things that has nothing to do with me. And that created a lot of stress for me. And here's the thing with moving with purpose in life as well. If you want your life to be filled with joy, you have to invite joy in. You have to be willing to give joy to someone. If you want your life to be filled with misery, it's because you're inviting misery in. Because you're a miserable person and misery loves company. I remember the one thing that my aunt said to me, I don't feel like having company. And I take that when I hear people with their drama, I'm like, I don't feel like having company. You know, so now she said it to diss me when she did it. And, you know, then she cried about, you know, to our mother, like, well, your sons don't even come see me. Well, you just said you don't feel like having company. And I'm the type of person, I take things literally, like, oh, that's how you feel. Okay. And I'm good too. And when I remove myself
right from that way, yeah,
I'm sorry. Say that again. That way.
I say you have a right to feel that way, but don't get mad at me when I honor it though.
Well, yeah, I like to honor your words. I'm not going to step on you, man. Look, this life is hard enough is what I'm trying to say. And we're making it harder when we introduce certain things into our lives that has no reason to be there. That's why I'm very careful with who I call my friend, you know, and I don't have to have a bunch of friends to feel like I'm somebody. And I feel like the quarantine is really proven that dealing with the COVID-19, it's like, I got to get out and I got to have a drink. I got to socialize with people. Well, I'm an introvert, so it doesn't bother me, you know, I just want to be able to do the things that I need to do without the hindrance of having anyone, you know, pull the strings back or stop me from doing what I need to do. Other than that, it's nothing like that, man. If we start to take the grandeur out of our lives, right? and stop worrying about who has this money and who has that much money and who's doing this over here, who's doing that over there, and focus on what we do for each other, what I do for my circle, then you can build wealth. Then you can build a legacy. But I really feel like we spread ourselves thin, worried about this, that, and the other. And we're not taking care of this. This is important. Mm-hmm. Then once we take care of this, we can handle that. Then when that is taken care of, then let's focus on the other. But until we focus on this, we can never move to that. And the other will always be over there because we ain't taking care of our business.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
There's podcasts. There's podcasters out there. Now, somebody is telling somebody right now, oh, it's a market it's so flooded, right? Inundated with all these podcasters. But guess what? But your podcast is not like the other podcast. So don't let anyone tell you about your podcast, about your dreams, about your goals. See, because this is how you move with purpose. You purposely ignore them idiots and do what you need to do to better your life. If you have something to say, say it.
Word. I agree with that. Just because it's only one you. And you know what I mean? So it doesn't matter if there's 50 podcasts out there, there's only one of you. You know, and I'm going to say it, and I know a lot of people clown on this part, but look, man, I don't care if you're 20, if you're 30, if you're 40, if you're 50, if it's in your heart to do music, do it. Whether it's rap, R&B, jazz, whatever the case may be, you know, we need to stop this whole ageism and trying to put people in the box about, you know, because they're a certain age, they shouldn't do this, that, and the other. Now, I say that with a caveat. Now, brother, if you're 55 and you wear skinny jeans and if you dress it a certain way, you may want to rethink your strategy. I'm just saying, you know, you don't have to try to dress and act like the young ones. But you know, the art form, because, you know, when you think about poetry and art, Shakespeare and Hemingway, the great authors that we celebrate in this country, rap music is up there. So it should get better with age. It shouldn't be a young man's thing. It shouldn't be a young man's game. If you want to act, do what you do. Don't let someone discourage you from following your dream, because you know what? God gave the dream to you for you to dream, not for someone else to dream it. And, you know, that's the whole, I see a lot of memes about when God gives you a vision, be careful who you share it with. And there's truth to that, because you know what? There's a lot of people who come disguised as advisors, but they're really naysayers. They will find a problem with everything that you try to put before them. And you just have to be careful with that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be careful with it as well. And you got to understand, man, what God gives to you is an intimate thing. He intimately gives you that vision for you. And you have to return that intimacy back to him by honoring him. And you honor him by exercising, you know, the plan. I see the plan. He put it in front of me. Now, how do I get to A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? You know, and a lot of us is when he gives visions is that we don't even go back to him and say, okay, God, what do I do with this? We take the vision and we go out and we share it with everyone else. And sometimes we need clarification, you know, okay, so I'm not understanding this, God. So what do I do now? And that's the objective. And the objectives is the purpose. If we can move with purpose, we understand the objectives. If we understand the objectives, we get the job done. And that's why in military, they understand the objective and they understand how to move with purpose. Because now I have my orders. I need to execute my orders and I need to see it through. Because the job is not done until we have executed the objective. And the mission has to be completed. And a lot of us, we're not getting clarification. And not only that, he's not going to give you a vision and leave you alone. He's going to put things into place, but you got to understand checkpoints.
Man, that's well said, because, you know, understanding the checkpoints understanding that, hey, sometimes you got to go back and get that vision revised, like that can stop you from taking a detour, an unnecessary detour. You know, dude, it's like this, man. If you want to do things in life, it's up to you to do those things. You can't sit here and wait for other people to validate it for you. When you move with a purpose, what you have to do, man, is take an inventory of what you want to do, why you want to do it, and just get it done. I don't care if it was a dream you had so many years ago, or if it's something that you don't know how to get started, man, the best way to get it started is taking the first step, right? Move with purpose. Even if it comes to relationships, if there's a relationship in that's, you know, on the outs that you wish was better, man, it starts with a conversation. It may not be healed overnight, but it'll never get fixed by ignoring it or avoiding it. You know, reach out, talk to them, but move with purpose. Because here's the thing, is that at the end of this life, everything that we give focus to, working so many hours and grinding and paying bills, I don't think there's any one of us that's going to get to the end of that timeline and say, man, I wish I had one more bill to pay.
Bruh, really? Really, dude?
I'm willing to bet it all. I'm willing to bet it
all. Yeah, I think you'll win that bet. Because I don't want no more bills to pay. I wish I had one more bill to pay. No, you don't.
If I could just do it one more time, I wish I had one more hour to work, one more bill to pay.
I was moving with purpose because my lips were chapped and I reached over and grabbed my chapstick.
Yeah, I didn't want to shout you out and embarrass you, but I'm proud of you, boy. It was looking suspicious on this end.
I'm getting that Denzel. I make my living with my lips. Mo Better Blues, baby. Shout out to Zell. Like Martin said, I call him Zell. Hey, man. Yeah, sure, yeah, I got to keep these soup coolers right, baby. I got to keep these soup coolers right, baby. Nah, you're right, man. You know, I gotta have fun. I gotta razz you. It wouldn't be Miss Talks if I didn't give you a hard time, Angel.
Word, son.
Word, man. Word. But yeah, you're right about that. One thing that you did say, what I just love, is check your inventory. Bruh. Like, for real, dude. Like, check your inventory, because some of you already have hella stock. And you're not utilizing the stock that you have. And you know what? Another thing about that. Let me add to that. Your inventory and your stock may be purposeful for someone else. You may be the missing puzzle, the missing piece to the puzzle to bring somebody else's plan into light.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that? Think about that now.
I do. I mean, I think about the old Motown days. And yeah, they had great artists and they had, you know, classics. But what y'all really don't realize is what was done with Motown was similar to more, you know, in the 90s, you would probably consider it the Chronic album, where you just had this large network of talented people working with each other. Some can write, some can sing. Some can play musical instruments, and you just had this powerhouse of, you know, gathered talent that just filled in all the blanks. What you couldn't do, someone else could. And when you got all that together, like the limits were just limitless. And look, so many years later, you have all this classical music that was produced. You know, sometimes, man, it's not about what you don't have, but what you can provide. And when you can collaborate with somebody, some people may be great artists, but they're not great writers. And, you know, one of the things that I put myself as an example, I'm not a great artist. I don't know how to draw to that level or illustrate, but man, I can write, and I would love to hook up with a dope artist to illustrate a great, you know, graphic novel or a comic book series.
Man, I can't find a graphic artist to save my life. If I was need.
I know.
Dude, the graphic artist game, man. Like, if y'all out there, y'all really need to get in Miss Talks, because, you know, we're writers. We have graphic novels that we've worked on. We have things that's in place, man. But look, you know, these people, man, it's funny, dude. It's hilarious, but Also, I'm glad you said that because I'm going to take it here. You know, a lot of things is this. When you're doing something that other people are doing, they don't want to share what they know. It's a hoard effect. I want to hoard these skill sets. I want to hoard this information. And I'm going to keep this information to myself. When I started the podcast, you know, you reach out to some people. Some people don't want to say anything. And I don't, hey, it's all good, whatever. I have people reach out to me. They ask me anything. I tell them because I know how hard it is to do what we're trying to do. I never wanted to be generic on anything that I do, at anything that I put together. But I also looked at it like this. I wasn't going to be the flash and dash. A lot of people have flash and dash, but don't have good content. I always focus on good content. I always focus on being able to leave our audience better than we left them. Then they came into the door. When they left, we fed them. So right. I know what we're doing is special to me. And that's why I just keep doing it, because it's a labor of love. You don't get to 50 episodes. You can get to 50 episodes because you can post as much as you want. But you don't get to 50 episodes when you have that feeling that I'm leaving people better. I'm leaving them fed. And right. hopefully not fed up with me. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's why I always try to curve to say, I don't want to curse all the time. I always, you know, check myself at the door before I hit the mic, because I don't want to be that type of person. But sometimes I'm a drop a F-bomb because I feel that's what I do. And if I offend you, y'all know me. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. But at the end of the day, it's all love. Like you said, brother, check your inventory. And when you told me, when you said that, instantly I was like, yo, man, because maybe your inventory is for someone else as well. See, God put you in places to bless other people as well. And I always look at it, and we always talk about chess. And I always think about it, and this is a different subject, but another subject, because I'm going to use it in this analogy. The queen can go anywhere on the chessboard. Doesn't mean that she should, though.
Boy.
Doesn't mean that she should. And a lot of people sleep on the pawns, but every particular pawn can be a king or a queen.
Yep. That's right, because they can get it back once it's captured.
You understand what I'm saying? So you have to learn how to move with purpose. And you do not play chess unless you're moving with purpose.
Yes, sir.
Because, hey, man, everything has a play. From the knight to the rook, to the bishop, yes, sir. To the king, to the queen, to the pawns. And we got to understand our level of play and what we're trying to accomplish as well. So that's what I do. I want to make sure that we're accomplishing something great and not just a little bit. You know what I mean? So, man. Hey man, that's why I don't trip on it. I don't trip on reviews. I don't trip on the streams. I don't trip on anything. Cause a lot of things you got to understand, is it going to truly be a labor of love? Or is your purpose to be on a certain pedestal? And that's not the purpose of Miss Toss Podcast.
Yeah. Well, you know what, dude? One of my teachers told me that, you know, when you know that you are what you want to be, a good way of recognizing that is when you're prepared to do it no matter what. No matter, you don't do it for the feedback. You don't do it for the accolade. And even if no one else knew that you did it, you would get up and do it every day.
Hey, brother, sick, blind, or crazy, you can never call me lazy. And that's just how I roll. I take it every day to the max, you know, writing, you know, I'm recording my riffs, my poetry. I'm doing other things, but you know, I give a little bit here and a little bit there to the audience to let them know, yo, it's more coming, but you know, it's just so much to do in life, you know, and like, I never slow down, you know what I mean? I just kind of keep going, but I also, you know, I know when we get older, how important it is to drink plenty of water, to exercise, even if you're walking. You know, I know that, you know, a body in motion stays in motion, man. So I you know, through the aches and pains, through the creaks and the cracks and the pops and this and that and the other, you know, I know I have to move differently now. You know, I have to move with a purpose of I want to get better. I want to, you know, when I see 50, I want to be better. You know, I want to be better as the years come because I want to be good to those years. I want to have good years, but you can't do bad things now and expect good years later.
Right. And I like the way you said that, dude, because that's also applicable to relationships. Like, dude, you want, you know, a good, healthy mental status. You can't keep carrying negative, you know, relationships into your future. You know, you can't let people have that type of headspace. You can't, like, some relationships, man, it's not about turning your back on people. It's not about writing people off. But you know what? Sometimes you're better friends from a distance. And you just can't allow for people to bring you down. Look, man, life is short. And I, you know, I thank God that I had a Waylon. I thank God that I have brothers like you. I thank God that I've had friends in this life that made this life, you know, very worth sharing. And with that said, man, time is too short for me to just entertain any type of relationship that doesn't make me better.
Yeah, I agree. Everything that you say, or everything that you do, you should apply it to everything in your life, differently. But like I said before, that whole thing that I say of my circle is so small, it's a dot, man. I learned that kept me out of trouble. You know, it kept me out of trouble. It kept me out of situations where, you know, I have to evaluate my life. When I was evaluating my life, the only people that I got in trouble with is because I was dealing with other people. I never got in trouble by myself. Does it make sense? Yeah, it makes sense to me because I never got in trouble by myself.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense because, you know, yeah, I know how much I don't like being in trouble, so I'm not going to put myself in trouble.
I'm not going to put myself in any trouble or not going to put myself in any drama. I'm not talking about, you know, nonsense. It's like I never put myself through that. And also, you know, I just like to chill. I'm a really chilled out person, and that's who I am. You know, I like to chill. I'm not, you know, I got to go hard all the time. Now, I like to mentally prepare myself and physically achieve goals, but I don't press myself to the point where I'm exhausted mentally over stupidity. You know what I mean? Because you can, like I said, you can focus on the wrong thing. And then the right thing slips by. So, you know, it's being, excuse me for bumping the mic, audience. The right thing is, you know, it's right in front of you, but you gotta be a discerner of the spirit. You gotta know which way to go and so forth. So with that said, man, you know, what else you want to share with our audience?
Man, I don't want this to become motivational speech, but man, I'm serious, and I'm very authentic when I'm saying, do it, you know what, because life is short, dude. And man, look, you don't know what tomorrow brings, whether that's good, that's bad, that's positive, that's negative. You don't know what amount of time that you have left in this world. And it'll be a sad thing for you to get to the end of that time, contemplating on doing something that you had enough time to do. You know, so it's just might as well get it done. I'm in a position now, dude, and I thank God that I've lived long enough to become wiser, that, you know, doing things that make me happy is not selfish, because it makes me better for the people that need to be in a close proximity of me. Doing things to make me a better person is not selfish, because it allows me to focus on others and not magnify my problems and afflictions to the point that I'm only concerned and consumed with self. You know, when I put myself in that position to where I'm straight, then I can help somebody else get straight. Man, we're multiplying that vibe. You know what I mean? And you know, you said it best, though. Like, there's people who will try to leapfrog you and try to move past you. There's people that try to use you. You know, I've seen it on many different platforms. When I was working in sales, how you try to train the new cat, and that's saying, you know, they're trying to contact your customer basis, approach your customers. Or in the music industry, when you're trying to network with people, and all of a sudden now they get their name out there by attached to your name, and now they're getting opportunities that they're not sharing with you. Man, you got to move with purpose, but you got to build relationships with purpose too. That requires to build quality, not quantity. sometimes, man, you don't need a whole entourage around you knowing everything that you do. Sometimes you just need a set few to just kind of keep that in check, you know, let the world witness. But your counsel, I know sometimes my accent gets in the way, but your counsel, your close, you know, knit of friends who have a say in what, how you make decisions and how you move. Everybody don't deserve a seat to be in that, at that table. So be careful when you build that round table, that little circle, because putting the wrong person in there, all it takes is one bad apple to spoil the bunch. And like I said, some people come with, they pretend like they're advisors, but they're really naysayers. They can't wait for you to say something so they can discourage you from it. They're naysayers. They're designed to find a problem with everything. You're going to do a podcast? Do you know how many people have a podcast? Do you know how many podcasts are out there? If you think I'm mocking you, then you probably was the one that said it. All right, without any further ado, go ahead, take it.
Hey, man, they said that when I was writing. You're going to be a writer? You're going to be this? You're going to play football? You're going to play basketball? You're going to play? You're going to play? I'm like, bro, you a professional naysayer.
I'm gonna say this too, y'all.
Go for it.
Listen, man, just because you put God's name in front of it doesn't mean it's holy. You know, a lot of y'all are moving shady, but you want to put Christian in front of what you do. I'm a Christian artist. I'm a Christian writer. Look, man, hey, just how about you just be a good artist who happens to be a lover of God? Because no matter what you do, it should always add up. Your fruit that you bear should always be evidence of how you living. Don't call yourself a Christian artist, man, but you moving like these secular cats. And you moving funny and making funny moves. Like,
And they keep shooting. I'm sorry, man.
I'm just saying, dude, because you know what, dude? When we was doing music and production just worldwide, it really wasn't a set, you know, boundary. We ran into a lot of characteristics, right? And, you know, and then as my faith grew and I wanted to do more things to reflect that, you know, I started dealing with, you know, inspirational music, Christian artists, whatever you want to name it. But man, I found the same characteristics, if not worse, in that genre than just any other genre that we worked in before. And it was an eye opener for me. You know, I went in blind thinking that, you know, it was going to be different because no, surely these Christians won't be. Okay.
Oh, surely over here. Surely you will never.
I would put together concerts for charity. And I understand, dude, people want to be paid for their art, but then I'm confused. I'm like, we're supposed to be doing this for the benefit of following the faith. And part of that is to do charity for orphans and people less fortunate. But then I'm getting these demands from people. They want their own dressing room. They want to be paid this amount of dollars. And I'm like, you do understand this is a charity event. Mm-hmm. Like, and the majority of these charity events were on the other side of that, because I had someone charge me up about it. Hey, man, you always want people to perform free and this and free. I said, brother, I understand that. But what y'all don't understand is that you are coming to this venue and you're able to perform in front of all these people who later go on your social media and add you as friends and they follow you and buy your CDs, download your music. I have to put up money for the venue. I have to pay for security. I have to pay for the insurance policy. All of that comes out of my pocket, and I don't ask for any one of y'all to chip in on that. So even though you don't get paid for the performance, you are benefiting from it in a way that it would take, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to get that exposure. So it's like you're not walking away uncompensated. You know what I mean? Like, dude, and I'm talking about for the venue, it could be $5,000. The insurance policy has to be $1 million or more. Just for one night event, that insurance policy is $300. You know what I mean? So it's like this coming out of my pocket. This is not coming out of the portion of what I'm donating and raising these funds for. This is coming out of my pocket as a labor of love to try to do good things. You know, I don't want to be charged up with your demands. You know what I mean? But hey, unfortunately, brother, that's not the case, man. That is not the case at all. Oh, he just went there with it, dude.
Angel.
It's still here.
Nah, man. I like having fun, bro. But at the end of the day,
it's greater than he who is in the
world. You're making a sense. It makes sense to me. That's Angel's cut. But you know, I think the point is this, man. It's funny that you would say that. You know, and I'm glad you haven't asked me to do any charitable things, because I would tell you, Negro, charity starts at the house. I got bills and make it out to cash.
Oh, baby, you should stay home.
I would never do you like that. I'll never do you like that.
Right.
Wink. No, man. No, I wouldn't do you like that, because I know where your heart is at. And when you're doing something to help someone else, man, you know, shame on anybody who try to charge you up, because, you know, hey, I volunteer. I know how hard it is. It is a labor of love, and you don't get paid in hugs and kisses. You know what I'm saying? Cause you sweating, man. You know, you sweating it out. But at the same time, you know, to have have some type of purpose in your life, to not think about yourself and to put others first, shows you that it shows God that you have compassion. And I think we don't have enough empathy and compassion for one another. And that's the thing. And that's why I told you in the beginning, people want to get to the first place.
Yeah.
And I do know, like Ricky Bobby says, second place is the first loser. I get it. But if you think about this, what are you profiting to be first at everything and not turning back to help someone else? What are you gaining? See, that cannot be the purpose of my life. And that's why I had to rearrange my thought process about being famous. You know, I want my money because I have other things that I need to do. And I diversify everything that I do. I don't just have a podcast with my brother. We have other businesses that we work on. But you have to have other streams of income, but no one is telling you how to really make money with that. How do you really diversify your portfolio? You know, Angel is a financial advisor. So I always go to him and ask him questions about different things if I have questions about. And a lot of things that we have to do is, I don't really want to say humble ourselves, to other people, because I don't believe that. In your lexicon, I think you should always humble yourself to the Most High. But I think you need to be willing to listen to other people for advice and have a discernment of knowing what to do with that advice, because you are connected to the Most High, who gives you more objectives and more missions and things for you to do. The biggest kicker out of dealing with people is that some people are double agents and spies. Mm-hmm. They always want to know what you up to next, so they can leapfrog you that way as well. So you have to be careful. Be like, oh, well, people like to talk about themselves and I don't. You know, I'm a closed book when it comes to talking about me. So I really don't have anything to say about me. And I learned that a long time ago. Because the more you let people know about your goals and your plans, the more they try to sabotage it or put potholes and barricades in front of those things. So you have to be careful with the small things like that, man. I mean, this is, yo, man, when I say it's chess, not checkers, everybody wants to be king.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be king. Everybody wants to say king me, and that's that leapfrog checker game. But when you step into the chess battlefield, then you start to realize that every move that I make is a counter move. Every counter move that is made, what is the move that I'm trying to make 3 steps ahead and sometimes 5 steps ahead?
Right.
You know, so I like the way you broke that down, but it also, like I said before, I'm going to go back to the inventory. When you go back to the inventory and know who you are and what you are in your stock, know what you bring into the table that can be beneficial to your team as well. And I do believe that we need to build teams, because no man is an island, no woman is an island. We cannot do all of these things by ourselves. We have to build our teams up to go to the next level. because that is a greater purpose than just my purpose. That purpose is encompassing their ideals along with my ideals, and that we are able to accomplish our goals together. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, it makes perfect sense, dude. You know what, dude, we're better together. And I always love hearing that it takes a village growing up, because I think that we get away from that. It does take a village. Like, no man's an island, you know, and social media has made it so easy to be narcissistic, even when you feel like that's not your primary trait, but it brings it out of a lot of people. And, you know, I don't want to do it on my own. I'm with you, dude. I grew up looking at the camaraderie of the Little Rascals, and I was like, man, it'd be dope to have a squad like that. You know what I'm saying? A1 day ones, you know, but you know, it never works out that way, because you soon realize that everybody doesn't have that same level of commitment. And I hope that before I leave this green earth one day that I'm proven wrong.
Well, you are proven wrong. Because I'm gonna jump in real quick. You are proven wrong, because you have proved yourself to be right with working with me. When you're able to work with it, sometimes, you know, there are elite groups of people, and I do mean elite, that are not going to be a gang of people. You know, special ops, special missions are 2-3 people, you know, the dynamic duo type deal. And when you are able to have those small things taken care of, or those small missions completed with two or one people or another person, the partnership, mm-hmm. then you can go on to the other things. But, you know, you're proving those things on a smaller scale that hopefully would be on a larger scale. But the bottom line is this, man, you're not going to get like-minded people to just be who they are for you. You have to adjust into their lives as well, because they have to feel like that they're going to get something out of it. And a lot of people don't work with each other because they don't know how to bring those things to the forefront. You know, I believe in a list of things, saying, hey, I have this list. This is what my goals are of accomplishment, not saying my most intimate list, but this is my list that I have that I would like to accomplish in this spectrum. And if you're able to accomplish those goals in those spectrums, then you have greater chances of developing more camaraderie to do bigger and better things. You and I are constantly creating different things to do. So, but that's the elite. The special elite groups can grow as well, but you have to have that, you know, camaraderie. And a lot of people are not going to have that, because they, you know, I think it's the lost leaders. You got to show people that you're willing to help them on their things as well. But we're getting older. It's only so much that we can do. So we have to take advantage of the time that we have right now to get to that level of, and I do believe in it takes a village, but let me tell you something about it takes a village. And unless the village know how to do it, those are the villages that get ran through. Right. They got pillage. They got stole on. They don't have no water. They don't have no grits. They got everything taken from them. So, you know, we got to be a smarter village. We got to be a smarter village. Right. I mean, seriously, bro, like it's gems, even with the simple things that you say, that I'm like, yo, man, I get it. But don't sleep on the fact that the special elite group has done major things. Because, man, when you have an operation, you can't just send all bombs and weapons of mass destruction to destroy that particular the stronghold. You have to have your elite group sneak in and handle the business.
Right.
You know, and that's where you and I are at right now. We're the elite group special ops that are doing special things, and eventually it's going to grow. And that's all I wanted to say on that, man. So with this said, baby brother, Angel, give us your final thoughts.
My final thoughts is this, man. Life is precious. Life is short. We've all heard it, but it's true. And, you know, reminiscing on some things from back in the day, it resonates. It hits a little differently through this whole COVID-19 phase because a lot of people have had time to kind of slow things down and look at things from a different perspective. And the perspective is this, man. Move with a purpose, because you know what? You only have one life to live. Now, living your best life, some people may think that's balling and having a huge bank account, the biggest house on the hill, the best car. Moving with a purpose is making sure that it counts. Like, make sure it counts. Dude, you know what the fifth man is on a basketball team? That's the guy who doesn't start, but he's the game changer. They put him in to change the trajectory of the game. Be the game changer. Be the game changer. Whenever you enter, whenever you do something in people's life, do it with a purpose and be the game changer. Be that good friend. Be that good brother, that sister, that mother, that father. Be the game changer. Invest in people to produce something great and make it count. Move with a purpose. I'm going to keep that short and simple and sweet. Move with a purpose. Make it count.
Yeah, and Kadeem Hardison and Wayne, Marlon Wayans wanted me to let you know it was the sixth man, brother.
You know what? You sure right. You sure right, because that's five starters. Hey, man, I'm going to blame COVID-19 on that.
I'm like, if you the fifth man on the sixth man, nah, it's the sixth man, B. I got to razz you, baby.
Nah. It's good. Hey, even I make mistakes and I can laugh at it too, because it's fun.
Good, because I'm straight clowning you, bro. Nah, I'm just kidding.
But you're going to be wearing the nose.
Right. It's all good. Whoa. I straight dunk on you. You keep talking noise to me, bro. You already know I got mad skills.
What you going to dunk a donut?
That's it, baby. Hey, straight. Stop. No splashing. Straight swish.
Straight swish. Watch me get it all in there.
Right there. That's all good, man. Hey, man. Yo, I like the fact that you kept it short and sweet, because that was a faux pas on your behalf. But we love you anyway, Angel. We love you, Angel.
Yeah.
Hey, man, look, dude. Hey, I get what you're saying. Life is very short. And I appreciate every time that I'm on the mic with you. Hey, man.
Likewise.
I just wanted you to know that, dude. You have somebody who rides with you, rides for you. And anything that you want to do, I'm here to back you up. Because a lot of times I'm not. One thing I realize in life is that I may not be the pilot. Sometimes I need to learn how to ride. And that's the problem. Do. Yeah. You may not be the pilot.
Yeah. We all do.
Yeah. Man. Sometimes you got to learn how to ride, baby. Yeah, and sometimes you got to learn how to be the navigator. You know, it's things that you can do. Everybody got to play their position. You know what I mean? And that's it. So, you know, I don't. And that's why and the funny thing about starting the podcast, like, yo, I don't have to be, you know, ace, you know, number one. I know how to play my position. And if you learn how to play your position, man, that vital point of being a sixth man coming off the bench is a killer. That sixth man coming off the bench can be the game changer.
The game changer. And I like that, dude. Everybody ain't meant to be the captain.
No.
Sometimes you have to be the navigator, dude. Just as important.
Oh, it's always important, man. It's always important. Everything that we do is important, but people don't understand that. They feel like they have to be the, you know, the spotlight has to be on them. And no, sometimes you got to learn how to be, you know, holding the spotlight for someone else. And I don't have a problem with that, because, you know, my time is going to come. I shine when everyone else wins. I don't have to shine and say, I'm the reason why we're winning. That's not it. I know my position. I play that position well because I want the team to win. And if you want the team to win, then you know how to move with a purpose. That's what's up, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your host, Angel and Walter LeRae. I am the poet, Walter LeRae, and that is my dope co-host,
Angel.
With that said, people, we love you. We love you.
Fitty.
You give me 50?
Fitty.
You give me $5?
I give you 50. Yeah.
Can I borrow $5?
Yeah, if I can get 15 back.
I give you 15 back when you give me 25.
I give you 25 and you give me 100.
Well, you give me 100 and I keep it. And as long as I owe you, you will never be broke. Well, I'm going to spread these two fingers apart and I'm going to shake a deuce at you. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to Miss Talks Podcast. May I speak sincerely with your hosts, Angel and Walter LeRae. If you would like to be a part of our show, or if you have any suggestions and topics that you would like us to speak on, please feel free to reach us at MissTalksPodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Instagram. Just search Miss Talks Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Let the journey begin.